It's Will Sean Podcast. The internet cried out for two more blowhards, and they courageously answered that call. Armed with the weapon of wit, each week they're joined by guests to discuss movies, television, pop culture, and anything else that's pissing them off. Take it away, boys.
I'm Will Link.
And I'm Sean David.
And this is Will Sean Podcast?
Nope. Government shut down. Everyone go home. Next question.
Boehner shut down our podcast.
He did. We were the first to go. Top line item.
Ours was being filibustered by Ted Cruz. So I went to the dentist.
For the first time in.
Yeah, by the way, you didn't say...
What was I supposed to say?
You didn't say...
How you doing, Will?
So I went to the dentist.
I got thrown off by the government shutdown.
I know. It's thrown off the whole podcast. So I went to the dentist. And, for the first time in years, because I don't have dental insurance.
Okay.
So I need this Obamacare for my teeth.
So you signed up last night at midnight?
At midnight, definitely. The dentist told me I brush my teeth too hard.
Okay.
And that I'm destroying my gum line.
You need to go to a periodontist?
I didn't know this was a thing that I could do to myself. I thought, I'm not going to the dentist. I better brush my teeth harder to make sure they're clean. This was not a good idea.
Nope.
So now they're using lasers to repair my gums.
Are they not doing the typical process, which is either harvesting skin from the roof of your mouth or grafting pig skin onto your teeth?
Thank God. I guess my teeth aren't that bad. That's a thing?
Yeah.
They just used a laser on my gums.
Okay.
And they said I'm okay.
Not with the laser. Okay.
I don't know. Lasers. We live in the future, man. What can I tell
you? But did you have any cavities?
No.
All right,
and that's what's most important. What's going on in the world of Will Sean Podcast?
Well, just want to thank everyone for listening and then chide you for not liking us on Facebook or Twitter or following us or doing all the things that you're supposed to do.
Hey, assholes, like us on Facebook. You know how long it takes? It takes like half a second.
And it takes a quarter of a second to give us a star rating on iTunes. Just do that. Helps other people find the podcast. And leave a nice little note if you're so inclined.
Or leave hate mail.
No, don't leave
care.
Hate mail.
I just like attention.
I like when we get those comments that are all in Arabic script. Yeah.
Anything else?
And want to remind everyone that LA Storyworks is having their festival this coming weekend and next week. You can find out all the information at lastoryworks.org. And, it's just a whole festival of storytelling shows. Lots of our favorites will be performing.
A lot of past guests from the show, Michael Patrick Duggan, Alex Alexander, they're all involved. It's going to be great stuff. I'm going to be there, so you should come there too. You can see me.
Yeah, it costs money though. I'm just letting you people know.
Well, who's our sponsor this week?
Well, Will, have you ever dreamed of being swaggy like Jay-Z or Bieber but haven't quite made it yet? Do you want to roll up to the club, get out of the car with your crew, and have everyone stare and wonder? Well, now you can with Rent-A-Rage. For a substantial fee, Rent-A-Rage can give you the complete swag nightlife experience. A pimped-out Escalade will pick you up at the beginning of the evening. Surrounded by a group of large black, Mexican, or Israeli men, you will receive VIP treatment and bottle service as you hit up two of Los Angeles' hottest clubs. And for an extra fee, your car can be followed by camera-flashing paparazzi. Rent-A-Rage, for when you just have to have it and have enough cash to do so.
And for an additional charge also... Sean and I will be part of your entourage.
We'll be part of your entourage. We'll be the turtle to your entourage.
I'm always the turtle to everyone's entourage. On the show today, Breaking Bad ended. Who knew? I didn't hear anything about this. Saturday Night Live came back, and thank God for us, it gives us a set topic for every week here on the show. And The Enemy is going to be basically on the idea that, you know, Twitter... is a wonderful thing because it gives everyone a voice, and it's an awful thing because it gives everyone a voice. But first, we're very excited. Oh, we got a good one for you today. We're very excited. She's a dominatrix, and she is Mistress Tetra, and she is here with us today.
Hello, hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm wonderful today. How are you guys?
You know.
Doing our thing, keeping it real.
This is what we do. So, you're a dominatrix.
I am.
And I'd imagine our listeners are going to have many questions as about how someone becomes a dominatrix. But before we get to that, I want to ask, are you from the Los Angeles area here? Or are you...
I am.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
Actually originally from the Redondo Beach area, so just a little bit south of here, and I was born and raised.
Okay.
Oh, local.
Yeah.
Yeah, we get very few of those.
Most of them are a lot of people from Texas.
Really?
A lot of those, yeah.
Yeah, very few people we have on the show, because we like to have interesting people on the show. And usually the interesting people left all of their homes around the country to come here. But you were born.
See, I left and I went to Vegas for a while, but I came back because Vegas sucks.
That's what I've heard. It's very different to live there than it is to just go for a weekend.
Are you burned out on Vegas? Like, would you go back for like a crazy weekend, or are you just like never again?
I would go for maybe like more of a relaxing vacation weekend, but not for a crazy weekend. Because you get phone calls from people who want to stay at your place every weekend when you're out there, especially so close to LA, and it's more people crashing your party.
Okay. What made you go to Vegas?
I actually used to own and run a Dairy Queen out there.
Really?
I did.
This is a whole new topic. Okay. Forget the BDSM. I want to hear about the Dairy Queen.
Yeah, I have all these questions about working in a dungeon and things like that, but now I'm curious. You owned a Dairy Queen?
Yes, I did.
Oh, wow. What was that like?
Completely different. It was...
Delicious,
yeah, totally. You get to make whatever you want and take it home, and it's...
I would get so fat.
Yeah, yeah. I used to be much heavier, actually. The dominatrix thing worked out. But I was out in Vegas, and I did that for about almost five years.
Wow.
My family owns franchises, and so just kind of almost a rite of passage, I moved out there and got a Dairy Queen that I kind of ran and took care of, and that's... where I learned a lot of my business skills.
Is that how you also learned how to dominate people?
A little bit.
Well, then, now this makes it more even more interesting. So what makes a girl make the jump from managing a Dairy Queen to, you know, tying people up and beating them for pleasure?
Well, I've actually always been into the lifestyle of BDSM. So I've always kind of been kinky. I've always played behind closed doors and everything. So it was more of just finding a place to do it professionally and out in the open.
Okay.
But I decided to make a change and move back to California. And when I did, I actually was doing some temporary work, and I worked at a dental office, which you were talking about. You just had a dentist appointment.
I think that also fits into the... There's like a little shop of horrors.
She wasn't pulling teeth.
Nevertheless.
You were booking appointments.
I was the girl that would call you and let you know that you had an appointment coming up.
I'm saying there still could be something sadistic about it.
Oh, yes. You know, I actually did assist occasionally in the back and help them do, like, perio readings and whatnot, so...
That's why you were nodding knowingly when...
It works out if I have dental role play or anything. I totally have the lingo down and everything for that.
Dental role play?
Yes.
Is that a big thing?
It's not a huge thing, but the people that are into it are serious, serious fetishists.
Well, let's get into this. So you said that kind of... this was always part of, like, behind closed doors, part of your sexual life. I mean, was that even before you could put a name to it? Like, you just enjoyed... like, what did you enjoy doing then? What did you...
My first experience was actually tying someone up in my gym with, like, bandage wraps and kind of just playing with them and dominating them there, and I didn't know it was BDSM. It wasn't something like I had researched and was like, yeah, I'm going to do this. It was kind of just something that happened. And then from there, it happened more often. And that's kind of just where I learned what to do and what I like to do.
Be honest, you were a mob enforcer and you were, yeah, it was like that scene in Casino with the vice.
And then, now how does someone then find the job of being a professional? Because it's one thing to say...
Can I answer that question? The internet?
Yes. I was going to say yes, yes and no.
But I mean, that doesn't make... just because I like tying my girlfriend up and spanking her doesn't necessarily make me qualified to get this as a professional job.
Right, right.
So what does?
Well, I think first you have to start by owning and being familiar with toys. So, I mean, I've had toys before I was in the professional lifestyle. So you get used to them, accustomed, you know how they work. You kind of start out doing that. And before I was a professional, I used to go to dungeons and other clubs and play and watch as a voyeur. And you kind of learn through things like that.
Right.
The best way to learn as a dominant is through experience as a submissive and a switch. So actually, when I started out, I was not a dominant. I was a switch, and I played both ends as a bottom and as a top.
Because you have to kind of know the experience and the limits so that you know when you're on the other side of it
Totally.
Where to modulate.
And being on the bottom helps you know, like, okay, that feels really good, or, oh, I liked it when they did that, to try as yourself when you're playing with someone, because you don't really know until you experience it, whether it be painful and torturous or more sensual and sensory play.
Now, let's talk about, well, where do you work, first of all? Maybe you should say that.
I work at Sanctuary Studios, LAX. We are right across the street from the airport, literally 5 minutes away.
It's exactly where you would expect a BDSM club to be located.
Come and see me.
It's like, I feel like that's where you get zoning for a thing
yeah,
like that.
Right under the approach path for the airplanes at LAX.
It's funny, my guy that I played with today came right off the airplane, and before he checked into his hotel or anything, he came and we played for an hour.
You guys should offer a service where you can wait at LAX with a sign and get them off the plane.
We joke about doing funny stuff like that sometimes. Sign spinning with sexy girls.
not bad. I'm all for this.
To get you be the sexy girl spinning aside.
Yes, I'm gonna be the sexy.
She's gonna. You be careful. She'll be making you wear a wig and standing out on, La Cienega in no time.
No, you're right by the airport, Sanctuary Sue. So do people fly in specifically to?
They do occasionally. I've had people fly in specifically to see me. I have a sissy slut that comes and sees me from Florida occasionally. So. People will travel.
What's a sissy slut?
A sissy slut is a gentleman who likes to be dressed up as a woman and treated like a whore. In the plainest and simplest terms, they like cross-dressing, being made to dance, usually embarrassment, and lots of times they like to be taken out in public and paraded around that way.
So let's talk about then the clientele here, because we have a mutual friend now, someone that I actually introduced named Debbie, and she told me before I brought her down to meet you, she made the statement of that she believes everybody secretly, whether they want to admit it or not, or whether they repress it or not, wants to experience stuff like this. She thinks that everybody, there's part of them, and they just don't necessarily have the balls to explore that area of their sexuality. Is she putting too much of herself into that, or do you think that's true to a point?
Oh, Debbie. I do think it is true to a certain point, because in BDSM, there are so many aspects. If you don't like being submissive, or you don't like, you know, the one being handled, you can be the person that's handling them. You can be the dominant or the top. So you can be in control, or you can be completely vulnerable. There are certain types of play that you might not even know about, you might not think you know or like. And just for an example, my godmother knows what I do, and she thinks it's funny, but she's not interested in any way, shape, or form.
Okay.
However, I knew that if I brought some of my toys over, that she would like them, because she's very into massages and being tickled or scratched. So I brought over vampire gloves, which are a set of leather gloves that have little tiny pieces of metal sticking out the hands, which sounds scary, but they can actually be used very softly, and it feels great.
No, those are good.
They're very good.
I was going to say, I've used them on you. I also brought over a set of Pandora's claws, which is like a little tiny piece of metal, and it's got like a nail, like a long claw on the end, and you can do scratching and whatnot. It feels good on the head and all along the back. Of course, you can dig into someone or squeeze them hard and have it be mean, but for the most part, if you can use any toy and be nice and sensual with it. And she was surprised to find out that she did enjoy it quite a bit.
Well, I think that's something that people don't really, and I didn't know this until I became friends with people like you, or former guest Nick Buxom, and things, that there are, that it's not just about like being like beaten.
Right.
Or made to dress up like a woman and paraded around.
Yeah.
Right.
Those are just that all of this falls into kind of the BDSM category, things that are much more sensual feeling.
Right.
Now, I have a question for you regarding, okay, 50 Shades of Grey. Yes.
You mean the worst piece of shit ever written?
But also the commodification of BDSM, or the popularization. How often are you experiencing people or couples coming in having a certain set of expectations that is unrealistic to the reality of what you do, and that disconnect?
I think a lot of couples, and I will say that in the last 2 years, I've had a huge number of couples come mm-hmm. to me. I mentor and I play with multiple couples. But I think a lot of them do what they read in the book, a lot mm-hmm. of the sexual play
right.
at home. And so that's what they think it is. And then they come to the club or a dungeon to play, and they're a little bit taken back, and they're like, maybe this isn't what I thought it was.
Right.
But it's always better when you have someone who kind of is in the scene or knows what they're doing to kind of show and guide you along the way.
Right.
And a lot of people do come in for that. And 50 Shades of Grey has inspired it. Unfortunately, it gives a lot of people the wrong idea, but I'm happy it gives people a gateway to maybe open up and find...
discover new things.
Correct.
But they think they're just going to come in and have a fuck fest in the dungeon that's 50 Shades themed.
Sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes.
I haven't read the book.
Well, you don't have to read the book. It's in the cultural consciousness.
But I mean, I don't know whether... I know what they do in it, but I guess I don't really know what they do in it.
Why don't you listen to the audiobook recorded by a friend of the podcast, Becca Bateau?
I should. I guess what I meant is, because you said a fuck fest in the dungeon. I mean, is that what happens?
I say that in every episode.
That's true.
I have to work that phrase in every episode.
Well, you know what? Let me ask this then about the clients. Like, what is some of the most, popular things that people come in wanting?
Requests? Flogging is huge because no matter who you are, flogging feels good. It can be painful, but it's very therapeutic. We get a lot of people in for body worship, mainly feet.
A big feet worth. A lot of foot fetishes. Quentin Tarantino coming in.
I was going to say, lots of feet and lots of ass worship, yes.
You said it can be therapeutic flogging. How so? Because I don't think people think...
Yeah, will my health insurance cover this?
Yeah, will this be under Obamacare? This is a big thing I need to know.
We should ask Obama. It's therapeutic in the sense that if you start out lightly and you do it in a rhythmical way, it kind of sinks them into a headspace and they can kind of float away and it's almost like an escape. And you can progressively get a little bit harder, but a lot of people like that. It's almost like a massage for them.
But once again, it needs to be done correctly by someone that knows what they're doing.
Like, don't give me a flogger.
Yes, no. Don't hit anybody in the head, the neck, the spine. Nice. There are many places,
taking
the kidneys,
all the fun out.
You don't want anyone pissing blood. So there are lots of different areas you have to be educated in where to and where not to hit.
Now, there are nights where, I mean, we should say that where you work, Sanctuary Studios, it's a functioning dungeon. You have to make an appointment, and you come in, and you do...
Well, not only... You can come in at any time during business hours. We open at 11 a.m. We close at 9 p.m. If you don't have an appointment, you're still free to come in. You can meet any of the girls. You can interview with us. You can come in and take a tour. We're a 7,000-square-foot dungeon. We have 7 different playrooms available. They have themes to them. So if you're interested and you're maybe not ready to play yet, you can still come in, meet a couple people, see what it's like, maybe just check it out if you're not...
Let me tell you, folks, it's pretty fucking impressive.
It is, it is. And I throw monthly parties there.
I was about to say, because on Friday and Saturday nights, they always have parties where a lot of the parties, people could just come in.
Correct.
Yes.
Different people that work at the dungeon and some people that don't throw parties, so it's always different depending on who's hosting that night. I host the third week of every month, and I throw a club called Anarchy, which is a little different than others in the fact that we have like a no-rules play policy. As long as it's safe, sane, and consensual, we're okay with it.
I'm out.
We allow things such as penetration, which we wouldn't normally. At parties, you cannot have intercourse. There's no insertion of toys. You cannot bring someone to the point of orgasm. At my party, all of that changes because it is a members' party. You can get a free membership, which you come in, you sign a waiver saying you understand what's going on and that you're going to consent and not do anything ridiculous, and you can find a play partner and possibly meet someone and play there. Or you can get a membership online, which is our VIP memberships. They're $40. You get a couple extra perks. But that's how you would be able to get into mine. Unfortunately, we don't allow public access. You can't just walk in off the street. But any other night, the parties are open to public.
But you said free membership and other parties. I think the parties would be a good because, and me and Sean have actually talked about this on here, and I've written an essay about this, in which the first time we went there... we didn't know what to expect. And it was actually a much more welcoming environment than we thought it would be. We thought it was going to be almost it kind of shattered any expectations we might have had about this world, because everyone was very friendly to us. We met people. Yeah. We were given a little bit of a tour. And we just were like, oh, this is a... I mean, you kind of...
Yeah, I mean, I was walking around. You're looking around in one room. You have two women getting whipped by a guy who looks like he gets the shit beat out of him in high school. And in the corner, a dude with a hoodie is reading a book. And so it was just... It was very banal in a strange way. But it was also very... everyone seemed very present, both emotionally and physically, and non-judgmental, and it was just very calm, which is counterintuitive considering some of the stuff that's going on there.
Yeah.
But it's a very... it's almost a contradiction in what you would expect, but it was very, very relaxing.
And that's, yeah. I try to bring that, especially to my parties. I want people to feel free and open to come, especially if they're new. I make sure I have excellent stage performances throughout the night, so that if you're a voyeur or if you're new and you don't feel comfortable walking around or going into rooms and being that up close and personal, you can sit at the table, the chair, the sofas, and just kind of hang out and watch what's going
and
on.
Drink.
And drink.
I mean, it's I actually really recommend people go check it out, just because, you know, you got, what do you got on a Friday night? You go bowling, you go karaoke, see a movie, and now you have this. Now you have BDSM.
Will, you have a question about the sort of meeting people at these parties.
Well, yes, I actually did, because you said you could go there and maybe you could find someone to play with. Man. Now, if I might say, I've been there quite a few times, and beyond yourself, there are many very attractive women wearing very scantily outfits and stuff and things like that. And I remember I was there this for your last party. I went down there because, people, I do my research for this podcast. And I was down there, and I was talking to these girls. I remember one, I think her name was, I guess she works there. Her name was Marks or something.
Yes.
She was like, she looked like a statuesque Anne Hathaway.
Yes.
Anyway, I remember looking at this very attractive woman, and I remember thinking to myself, how does that, how do you just approach somebody and be like, do you just like, hey, you wanna play or something? Because that sounds like the equivalent of going up to a girl in a bar and being like, you wanna fuck. So, like, how does somebody, if they are new and they wanna be like, because the other fear I think they would have is they come to this thing, they talk to a girl, and maybe they're not prepared for what she might wanna do to them. Or on the flip side, if they're talking to an attractive girl who's a sub, maybe they're not prepared to do things to her that she wants. So how would someone negotiate this?
Usually the best thing to do is, you know, first make some small talk, say hello. Then you maybe want to get into like, oh, so, you know, are you a professional or are you a lifestyle player? That's always a good question to ask.
You need a lingo, Will.
Professional or lifestyle player?
Yes,
because... Well, what would be, I mean, besides, okay, well, get into the...
Yeah, I was going to say, now if you were asking me, I'm both. You would find me on the weekends playing either way, regardless if I have a party or not, because I love what I do. A lot of players, if they say they're a lifestyler, you've got a pretty good green light, as long as you don't, you know, say anything stupid. And it's all about respect, really. Just, you know, if you know they're a dominant, you're very courteous, you ask them what they like to do, and then you negotiate the scene, what kind of toys will be used and what your hard limits would be. And
your
that's what you
can't.
Don't like done.
Yeah.
Toys that can't be used, words that can't be said, because sometimes people don't think about that if there's verbal involved. You don't ever want to break someone down to the point where they're just left crying or shattered because you said something that just stomped on their heart, because it happens.
Right.
If they're a professional player, it's a little different. Sometimes the professional people come out and they don't want to play at a party.
Oh, it's kind of like the idea, I do this all day for my job, I just want to hang out with my friends.
Exactly.
I don't want to necessarily be whipping someone.
And it totally depends. Like, if you ask me, I would probably say yes, because if I'm there on the weekends, I'm there to play, I'm there to meet new people, and I'm always looking to educate new people.
And you're a giver.
Yes, I am.
And find new clients.
So, ladies and gentlemen, come and play with me. I'm always there. Otherwise, you know, the professionals, some of them, like, Baroness, like Betty Bondage, like Natalie Lust. I know there are a few women that go to the parties on a regular basis, and if you approach them right and you ask them, because they're both professional and their lifestyle, they'll play with you. But it's all about how you talk to them, and don't come off too creepy. I mean, they are normal people. And
you're out, Sean.
They are there at a play party, you know, just treat it as that. They are another person.
So respect your dom or sub.
Exactly.
I feel like, I still feel like this is probably easier for women than men. Just like in reality.
Because women don't have penises.
Exactly. I have a creepy penis. So there you go. Okay, this is all very fascinating. Now, before we move on to some of our pop culture topics of the week, which you are going to join us for, whether you'd like it or not.
Wonderful.
Tell everybody again how they can find out all the information. If they listen to this and they say, we want to go to this place, we want to check this out, we want to meet Tetra, we want to get educated by getting tied up and experiencing something new and pleasurable.
You can go ahead and check out my website, which is the best way to find out every detail you could possibly want for the parties. That is clubtemptlax.com. It has everything from how to get a hold of me if you want to do sessions to what parties I have coming up. It'll list the next couple events so you can plan ahead. If you maybe can't make this one, you can make the next one.
A family event or something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can find me on Facebook as well as Club Tempt. We have a page. You can like us. We put up pictures, which I highly recommend you go and check out
because
they're sexy. They are censored, but if you go to my FetLife page, which is like a kinky Facebook, basically, that's exactly what it is. FetLife, FetLife. You can go to Mistress Tetra and see everything uncensored there. There's also videos on our website. We do the Forced Orgasm Show, as well as a competition at every party called the Survivor Challenge. So if you want to be played with, it's really only for masochists that are serious, but I have 6 mistresses that will guaranteed play with you, but you must come up on stage. There's 3 rounds, and whoever lasts the longest of all the competitors gets a free hour-long session with me.
Yeah, they can walk afterwards.
Exactly.
Yeah, look, I've seen this go down. Look, I like being beaten as much as the next person, but that's pretty rough. That's pretty rough.
You gotta train for it, Willie, like Rocky IV.
Look, and if you are a good listener of the podcast, you have already checked out all this stuff because you've been to a website, because we're gonna have a link to it on our Facebook page. And if you are a great listener of the podcast, you're already making your plans this weekend to come on down.
That's right.
And, you know.
And when's the next party that you host that's open for the public?
Open for the public?
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Your party's... I apologize.
I was
going to
say, the next party for the public, my good friend Miss Lovely will be hosting this weekend. It's actually this Saturday. Her parties are like an industrial gothic theme to them. And she's doing a steampunk party. So Saturday the 5th, there's steampunk at Sanctuary. My next party, No Rules Anarchy, will be on Saturday, October 19th.
Okay.
Yeah. And it will be Shocktoberfest, so we'll be wearing lederhosen and all electricity play.
That reminds me, it's Podtober here at the Will Sean Podcast.
Oh, you're only 27 minutes in, and we just hit this. One last thing I must add is that the costumes that people wear and the get-ups are phenomenal. It's even if people put so much care and thought into their outfits, it's pretty fantastic. The last one I was at was Star Wars themed, and
yeah, you were at Cinematic Kink,
yes.
And I think it was different movies, but I did a Star Wars scene.
Yes, it
Darth
was
Tetra.
That's right, and insert lightsaber joke here.
What were you saying with the costumes? You said there's a steampunk night October 5th.
Correct.
Miss Lovely. And that's the day this episode will probably be up. So if you're not doing anything tonight, go.
You can actually go on Facebook, and if you type in Midnight Mass, the event page for her party will come up, and you can find out everything there.
Let me tell you what I've met, Lovely. I'm both simultaneously fascinated and terrified.
You should be.
Because I've spoken to her, she was very nice, but then I've seen this crazed look in her eye, and I'm like, oh, I'm terrified.
She is the nicest person you will ever meet, but she is also the craziest, and I love her for that fact. I mean, you never know what's going to happen when you have her around.
So it's like Andrea Marchand.
It's just like Andrea Marchand. So, let's move on to the topics of the week.
Let's do that.
Breaking Bad. You watch Breaking Bad.
I do.
I know you do, because if you didn't, you'd be shit out of luck. We're going to talk about it anyway.
Spoiler alert, people.
I can't remember the last time the culture was so... Maybe The Sopranos, where they were so caught up with the ending of a show. Do you watch a lot of TV in general?
I don't have a ton of time for TV, but every once in a while, if there's a good show on, I make sure I'm able to catch it.
And this was a great show?
Yeah, it was excellent.
Here's the thing, people. You're going to say now, oh, are they going to talk about the ending of Breaking Bad? Well, yes, because otherwise, what are we doing here? So if you're like, I'm still in the middle of season 3, here's what I want you to do. Skip ahead about 5 minutes in the podcast. And,
if you hear us talking about SNL, you know, we skipped it.
Yeah, if you heard us moved on. But, so I'll ask you first, since you are the guest.
Okay.
What do you think, how do you think it ended? Were you happy with how it ended?
Bittersweet ending for me. I am happy the way it ended. I like that Walt died the way he did in the end. However, I don't like that everybody's saying that they caught up all the loose ends. In a sense, they did, but I don't feel like you get to see what exactly happens, and that bothers me to a certain extent.
Well, you're always going to have that, I guess, with the show when it ends, because it's like, oh, what did these people go on to do?
Did you ever see 6 Feet Under?
You know, I only saw the first season, and I'm dying to continue it.
So I never saw the show, but in the finale...
One of the greatest finales of all time.
Where they jump forward, and I guess they show everyone's death.
Yeah, they show how everyone lived out the rest
of their life. To an Arcade Fire song.
Very cool.
No,
yes.
It wasn't Arcade Fire.
Who was it?
It was that chick. It was... I don't know in a... I don't know her name, but it was like... breathe just... I don't know. It was...
That was worth it just for that.
I don't know the name, but it was... Here's my feelings. I thought it was as perfect as a finale as you can have. And given the situation they were all in going into
the situation
this episode,
was in the episode?
Shut up. Given that, the circumstances that they were all in leading into the episode, it was the happiest possible Breaking Bad ending.
I'll give you that.
Although
yeah.
It wasn't happy. I mean, when you think about it, look, his family, he died with his family hating him, and these people are all in a shit. I mean, Jesse's not doing too good. I mean, he's free from the nonsense.
Yeah, Jesse's free for 5 seconds. He's got no resources and no ID. He'll be caught within 5 minutes.
But I really like that it was, when it ended, I just felt very satisfied. You know, unlike shows like The Sopranos or Lost, there's no conjecture after this. There's no, like, you know, we saw how it ended, and it ended, I feel like, as it should. And like you said, Walt dying, he died in the meth lab, which was kind of, in a weird way, happy.
It was his happy place. Yeah, it was kind of home.
And he owned up to his family. I think he had the best possible closure with his wife, because he owned up, like, I did this for me.
Right. I had two major thoughts about the episode. One, it was an episode that was very committed to plot, with a capital P, of things happening. I thought the emotional high point of the season was the episode Ozymandias 2 weeks ago.
When Hank dies.
I think that's the episode that was the most... And even Vince Gilligan says, he goes, that's the best episode we've ever done. I thought that one brought all the emotional stakes to the front and showed all the real fallout. I thought where the second last episode was very meditative... This episode was all about... It was very mechanical. You have the mechanical gun. It was machinery in action, which is kind of appropriate considering this was the final episode of a show. So I appreciated it for that point. And I think we got enough closure for the characters to know what was going to happen. My only... I mean, Jesse's not going to have a happy life after this, I don't think. I don't think he can. I think he's free from these guys, but... I don't know what good is going to come of Jesse's life moving forward.
And Brock, I keep thinking about poor Brock. I don't know why.
Well, you know, they're going to find the video that the confession video when the feds go in there, Jesse confessing to everything. Where is he going to go? He doesn't have the money, you know. We know that Walt Jr. is going to end up hopefully with something. But I enjoyed the finale. My biggest complaint about the season is I don't think we needed the flash forwards.
I disagree.
I think it turned it too much into a... plot puzzle. I think it would have worked better if we didn't know in advance that he had gotten the... Because I had already figured out the ricin was going to be for Lydia, and you already figured the gun was going to be for...
I thought been for him. Did you know the ricin was going to be for Lydia?
I hoped it was.
Yeah. they spent so much time... Nothing is... There's no empty
threat.
That's
when I get to that everything happened the way it was supposed to happen.
Yeah.
But I don't think we needed... I think it would have been... I think if you would show season 5 to someone and not show them the flash forwards, it would have a different effect for people.
I'll tell you why I disagree. I think it would... I think... Because this is episodic television, I think those flash forwards are the reason we were obsessing and talking about it so much. Because we're like, we know he has a gun in the future. Why does he need this? And I think it added to a lot of the, let's say, what I liked about a series like Lost, where it was a show you can dissect. Because this was a very kind of, in a weird way, almost straightforwardly told story, I liked that there were these touches to get us excited about what might happen and what's he going to be doing.
But what happens is, though, instead of going on an emotional journey with this character with this open-ended question, you already know certain things, and all you're doing now is you're trying to fill in plot gaps.
Who's right, me or him?
A little bit of both. I mean, I do agree. It kind of gives you like, okay, well, it could go this way, but you kind of plan what
I didn't
else
even
could want happen
to
in
know,
your head.
Like, if you didn't know that Walt already came back with a gun, that Granite State episode would have had a completely different feel through it, because you don't already know that he's going back to town. You don't know where it's going, but because we know he's coming back with a gun and ricin,
it makes it more exciting.
This is a minor quibble, though.
It is a minor quibble, but it's one that bothered me over the past week.
These people, they're these people. I don't know if you probably don't read like we do about all this stuff, but there are people who are complaining. Get this complaint, Tetra. It was too perfect. The ending was too good. It was too pat. Too perfect. I mean, since when is like sunshine and kittens and blowjobs a problem? Too perfect. You know what I mean?
Is the kitten giving you a blowjob in the sunshine?
Maybe. I mean, do you think there's a thing that a TV show can end too perfectly?
I don't think so, but maybe they weren't as into the show as everybody else is, for them to just be like, eh. Or maybe they didn't like that it kind of closed everything up.
Maybe they don't like that Walt was happy at the end, but what did they want? You don't watch 62 episodes of a show, feel for a character, and then want to see a machine gun down, do you?
Meh.
Well, anyway, big question for you. There's going to be a spinoff.
Yes.
Better Call Saul.
I know, I'm so excited.
You're
gonna watch? Oh, yeah, I'm definitely going to watch. I was worried. I thought for a second in there that they might kill Saul, and I was going to be really, really sad because I love his character, but.
Saul can never die. He's like the cockroach.
He's a survivor. Now, how would you have reacted if instead of him assuming that he was going to go run a Cinnabon in Nebraska, he said, I'm going to end up running a Dairy Queen in Nebraska?
I would have just laughed to myself.
Yeah. But it'll be a prequel, which means we'll get to see Bob Odenkirk with probably a bad wig and a dye job.
Yeah, good stuff. You said you didn't watch a lot of TV. Do you watch, like, it's... You know, I know you've seen it, but Saturday Night Live, do you watch that at all, ever? I mean, I know Saturday nights are at the dungeon.
I was going to say I've seen it, but I don't watch it regularly.
But sometime over the past
if I
39
do,
years,
you it's,
watch.
You know, late night when it's on or, you know, when I'm getting ready in the morning or something.
Well, you know what? It came back. And on this show, we're always searching for topics. And it seems like Saturday Night Live, since there's something new each week, we always have something to talk about with it. So, they added a lot of new cast members.
Yes, 5 or 6. It's a big.
They added like 6 new cast members. And most of this first episode was like, let's introduce you to all these people. And it's going to take me the entire season to learn their names.
Can I point out one chick, no black guys?
No black women.
Or no black women.
Black women. Who's the last black woman?
Or an Asian. Come on.
More minorities on.
So they're all white, or
they're all just boring white people.
Well, that's
I mean, they might
fun.
Be funny boring white people. They don't have the diversity that I see when I go to, say, the dungeon
or Mad TV.
Yeah, I love Mad TV.
They were diverse. They had a lot of Asians. Is that true?
I don't know.
They had one Asian.
There you go. That's more than SNL has.
What did you think of these new people, Sean?
They're fine. You know, like you said, they throw them softballs. Tina Fey did a nice little hazing. She was the host. She made them come out and...
You know something about hazing.
I do.
Yes, they had to come out in sparkly gold hot pants and tops and do an extremely embarrassing song and dance number with her as the host. And she showed footage of all the times she as a member of SNL, had to do embarrassing song and dance numbers, and this is sort of a rite of passage, so that was the opening monologue. They were fine, they used them in a couple of sketches, and, you know, the episode was, it was a solid B. Didn't like the new Arcade Fire song.
I don't understand Arcade Fire. I find them confusing. They're not like that woman who sings the song at the end of 6 Feet Under.
Well, you understand the band, because there's 45 people in the band.
Obviously, do you like a lot of those? Because there's a new girl on the cast, and just like most funny women, I find her adorable. I don't know her name. Are you into like a lot of the comedy, like people like Tina Fey, Amy Poehler? Like, do you find them funny? Do you follow this stuff?
I do. I actually watch a lot of comedians, mostly stuff on like Comedy Central and whatnot, yeah. But I like to get out and watch comedians. I have a friend that's a comedian, actually. I should have him come to you guys' show. He's up at the Comedy Magic store every once in a while in Hollywood.
We like comedy and magic.
Yeah.
But not together.
Yeah.
Like, keep separate. No miscegenating.
Speaking of women, Cecily Strong is now doing Update.
I like her. I think she's funner.
She's good.
And eventually she's going to do it solo, right?
Yes, when Seth Meyers leaves. So, SNL. So, listen, listeners, you're going to have to deal with us talking about Saturday Night Live till May.
It's a powerhouse topic.
Yeah, it's a powerhouse topic, as you can see by Tetra's excitement for the topic.
I don't have much to say. Sorry.
It's okay. That's fine. Because
next week, Miley Cyrus hosts.
Yes, she's gonna. That's gonna be a top.
Oh, it's gonna be awful.
Yeah. What did you think of her twerking? What did you think of that whole controversy, non-controversy?
I feel like she's screaming for attention. I don't know.
She should come down to the. She would be.
She would be an interesting one over at Sanctuary. Yeah, we'll just tie her up and smack around a little bit.
Get much twerking play down at the dungeon.
Actually, you would be surprised. Speaking of twerking, Betty Bondage today did a handstand up against the wall and twerked up against the wall, and we decided to video it because it was just too good to be true. So we do get twerking.
Okay,
and
all right.
Quinn, Switch Quinn, she's my sister. Both Betty and Quinn are my sisters. She does some twerking every once in a while when she does, like, dancing and whatnot at parties. She actually specifically went in and learned how to twerk. Nick Buxom was actually showing her some stuff, and we watched some videos online, so yeah.
Look at this. So, you know, you never know what you're going to see.
Beautiful women doing sexy things. Why would we have a problem with any of it?
We always do a fall movie preview. We did not do one this year. So we're going to highlight a couple of new films coming out each week as well.
Okay.
Do you get to the movies much, Tetra?
Sometimes. Yeah, I like movies a lot.
What kind of movies do you love?
I'm all about horror movies, but horror and comedy are what I usually stick to.
Like, how about comedy and magic?
Yeah, there you go.
How about sci-fi? You like sci-fi?
If it's good sci-fi.
Well, there's a movie coming out, and actually this might be more less
it's not sci-fi. Just because it's in space doesn't
yeah,
make it sci-fi.
Yeah, it's sci-fi. It's more science drama.
Side draw?
Well, there's a movie coming out this weekend, Gravity, which I'm very excited for. Sean, why don't you tell us what
Gravity is? Gravity is a movie about, stars George Clooney and Sandra Bullock, and I don't think anyone else. And they're astronauts on the International Space Station. Something goes terribly wrong. And for the next 90 minutes, I guess George Clooney has to save Sandra Bullock from just floating out into the infinite void of space.
Because if you're just floating out there in space, you float forever.
Yeah.
Until you're dead.
It's directed by Alfonso Cuarón, who, as we all know, directed Great Expectations, Little Princess, and Harry Potter, and The Prisoner of Azkaban.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
Do you want to also mention Et tu Mama Tambien?
Et tu Mama Tambien. And his last, Children of Men, which was his first movie in about 6-7 years. He's a brilliant Mexican director.
Now, this is the exact reason I wouldn't go to space. Because if you're floating out there with no oxygen, you die. I like to be in oxygen-rich environments. But let me ask you this, Tetra. There are a lot of, like, now privately funded trips to space people do. Like, this is going to be, because, you know, NASA's bankrupt, so we're going to have, you know, rich Russian billionaires building rockets and sending, like, Lance Bass to space. So, let me ask you this. You're a successful dominatrix. You have a client come in, he's a rich client, and he says, Tetra, I want you to come and dominate me in zero gravity in outer space. I will pay you for this. Would you take the trip to space?
Probably not. Just because it's not something that, like, I'm super interested in. I know it would, like, fascinate a ton of people, but I'm not huge on, like, you know, being out of my element and traveling anyway, so going to space just sounds like a nightmare to me.
Yeah, good luck using a cat of nine tails in space.
I was going to say, using toys and everything, that'd be...
I guess you wouldn't be able to do certain play in outer space.
Yeah.
In space, no one can hear you scream, though.
It would be fun to watch a...
Like someone try to whip
it. Yeah, yeah.
So someone, billionaire, offers you thousands of dollars to spank them.
Elon Musk wants you to, yeah.
You don't take this?
See, it's...
Are you afraid? Because I'm
I was going to say, it would more lie, in my trust and just the whole risk, so I probably wouldn't take that risk.
A privately funded rocket someone built in their backyard.
Yeah,
we're
fuck
going
that.
To space,
space Dungeon.
Baby.
Yeah. That'd be a good movie, Space Dungeon.
Oh, that should be like some Skinamax thing.
I'm sure it's probably been done.
It's my next party theme. There you go.
You should do a space theme party.
I'll think about
it. Is there a way we can remove all the oxygen?
What are the rooms? What are the playrooms?
Sean, would you go to outer space?
No. I don't even like tall buildings. Outer space.
I don't even like getting in an airplane.
I don't like being, honestly, if I'm in a building higher than the 40th floor, I start, I don't like it. So, yeah, no space for me.
So no space for any of us. None of us are adventurous.
We're not. I won't bungee jump. I won't skydive.
By the way, I just said the dominatrix is not an adventurous person. Would you bungee jump or skydive?
I wouldn't.
Well, I told you, I've mentioned this before on the podcast. I have a rule. If a friend of mine dies in a skydiving or bungee jumping accident, I will not go to the funeral. Because you know why? No one told you to jump out of a goddamn airplane. Completely avoidable activity.
True.
Man was not meant to throw themselves out of a plane at 14,000 feet.
Yeah, I'm not a huge, huge thrill seeker, I guess, when it comes to things like... I'm not even huge on roller coasters, so...
And yet.
Shit like that is real exciting for me. I'll watch.
You're a voyeur when it comes to these things.
Exactly.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm a voyeur.
So, Twitter.
Yep.
Everybody...
is a voyeur.
Everybody's crazy on Twitter. I'm on Twitter, I'm crazy. Everyone's crazy. But some people... it's too much. For example, there was that big Kanye West Jimmy Kimmel thing that went down. I don't think Jimmy Kimmel tweeted at Kanye West. Did you hear about this?
I didn't.
Sean, tell
Jimmy Kimmel just did a sketch where he took two children, he's done this before, two children actors, and had them just recite verbatim the transcript of Kanye's crazy interview he gave for the BBC. Kanye, who actually, and this is a subtext, Kanye considers Jimmy a friend and was at his wedding and has known him for a long time. Calls Jimmy up, starts screaming at him on the phone for 15 minutes, and then afterwards immediately goes to Twitter on this long, epic rant. So, of course, Jimmy Kimmel had to go and, you know... defend himself on the air.
Man can't take a joke.
No, he can't take a joke.
I mean, he went insane on Twitter.
It's Kanye West,
yes.
So...
I mean, and everything was in all caps, and he said something about Jimmy Kimmel and Ben Affleck, and then he wrote the hashtag, no disrespect to Ben Affleck. Which then became a popular hashtag.
Well, you know, I think it's interesting that the man went from Gigli, where he got all the disrespect, to now Kanye West is afraid of offending Ben Affleck.
But here's my thing on Twitter. You're on Twitter, but you don't tweet ever.
I was going to say,
I know this because I follow you, and I've never seen one tweet.
I'm on Twitter, and I know I need to get better about Twitter, but I just, I find it so mundane and just almost pointless. But
I feel like someone like you can make it not mundane, though.
True.
I mean, you don't have to put, I ate a bagel today. Like, you don't have to put that. But
wait. Were there poppy seeds on that bagel?
Sesame.
Okay. Well, you may want to tweet that.
Now, but here's the thing. I also, being a dominatrix, that actually might be like some submissives out there might be into being like, oh, what did she eat for breakfast?
True, yeah.
So it could be a
consumption fetishes. You know, I used to, about a year ago, I was very, like, accurate on my Twitter and kept up to it every day, and the last year I've just kind of said, fuck it. But yeah, I should use it. I have so many, like, social networks at this point that keeping up with all of them...
And the thing, I personally don't use Facebook, but I tweet, like, 20 million times a day. But you know who else tweets a lot? Will Smith's wiener kid, Jaden Smith. Now, this kid is an idiot. And he went on some Twitter rant the other week about education.
How old is he?
He's like, 15? 15?
Okay.
Maybe 16. Yeah. Maybe. So he starts tweeting things like, here's some quotes. If everybody in the world dropped out of school, we would have a much more intelligent society. Education is rebellion.
Now, you know what's rebellion? Starring in an M. Night Shyamalan film.
Here's one I like. School is a tool to brainwash the youth. Now, this is coming from a kid who's secretly being raised as a Scientologist, mind you. And here's my favorite. If newborn babies could speak, they would be the most intelligent beings on planet Earth. What the fuck?
Well, that goes back to the idea that, you know, we get corrupted by society, and when we're newborn, we still have... We haven't been tainted by evil Xenu.
Babies are stupid. They shit themselves. They're not smart.
So do old people, and they're the wisest members of society.
Old people are stupid. They talk loudly during the movies. So here's my thing. Who the fuck's raising this kid? Will and Jada? Is this what you're raising? Is this what's going on? Here we have this kid who's grown up privileged, and he's been in, you know, he's probably been very well educated. He's tutored on the sets of his father's films and the stupid films. He's M. Night Shyamalan hires him, the best tutor in the world, to be there on the set of After Earth. And this kid who's probably getting a great fucking education, who probably doesn't even need education anyway, because he's growing up to be movie star Scientologist douchebag. So, and he's criticizing people on Twitter. Criticizing, like, we're all idiots because we went to fucking college or something. And that's why you, Jaden Smith, are the enemy of the podcast. Go fuck yourself. Fuck you. And you know what else? Willow Smith, she's not being raised much better because she was on that Queen Latifah show and she was talking in a British accent. What the fuck is going on with these kids?
Maybe Madonna's their tutor.
Oh my god, I can't deal with these children, Tetra.
That's why I'm not having any.
Really?
You don't have any Will Smith's children?
I'm not having any children, period.
Well, if you do have them, don't let them tweet.
The only babies I want are the adult babies.
The men in diapers. Which is a thing, I'm sure.
It is.
Whatever happened to Will Smith's other kid? Doesn't he have another son? He was in that video, that Just the Two of Us video back in the late 90s with like another wife. Do you remember this?
Oh, I vaguely remember
that. He had that video when he's singing Just the Two of Us and there's the little kid there and then he like, Daddy loves you! Daddy loves you! Ha 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 ha!
He's a victim of the millennium.
How's the millennium working out for you, Tetra?
Just fine.
13 years in and
These kids...
This Jaden, by the way, is going to become an epic train wreck. I'm just calling it right now. He's just this entitled piece of shit.
And he's friends with, like, Bieber.
That's good.
Ugh, I can't deal with that Bieber kid either. He's, like, pissing in buckets.
Do you see the latest thing happened today? It's a photo of him. He was in China. At the Great Wall of China, there's a photo of him being carried on the Great Wall of China by his entourage.
They carried him?
I didn't get the context, but there's a photo of Bieber, and now it turned into a meme of Bieber being carried in world landmarks.
I'd love to know how far they carried him.
Yes. Tell you one thing, it wasn't Rent-A-Rage.
Here's something that from Bieber that maybe you can relate to. He literally spit on his fans, and they loved it.
Yeah. People love that for some reason.
Got a lot of 15-year-old girls as clients, do you?
No, not girls. Well, not 15-year-old girls, but yeah, no, I actually do get quite a bit of women, because that stupid 50 Shades of Grey is just getting their curiosities peaking, so.
And do women come in there, like, they want women to are they just more comfortable in experiencing these things with women? Because I know I'm more comfortable experiencing
sometimes
these.
I think so, but there's also that small percentage of women that they'll play with a woman, yeah, but they like that male energy, that male dominant energy.
Quick side question.
Sure.
It's curious to me that there aren't any. Are there any male doms or subs that work at the club?
Yes, there are, actually. Our male dominants don't get as many requests as our females do, obviously.
Right.
But we do have them on staff. We have currently Master Aragon.
Okay.
We also have Master Prometheus.
Strong, good names.
Yeah, so at any time you can call and make an appointment for them. Usually they want to talk it over with you and really negotiate what you want and everything and make sure you're serious.
I want to sign up with Master Samwise Gamgee.
Yeah.
That's an option.
I want to put Bieber in a room with you.
You take care of him?
Yeah. I want you to make him cry.
Okay, well, the first thing I would do was gag him, just so we all know.
So you don't have to hear him sing.
So I don't have to hear him do anything.
Well, we always like to end the show on a weird note or a weird topic.
Oh, we found a good one.
So, there's a fish called the paku. And it is a rare species of fish. I believe it's in like New Guinea and places like that.
Well, stupid countries.
They discovered one, or more than one, they've discovered them in Passaic, New Jersey. Apparently, idiot people had bought these fish and then were like, well, I don't want these fish, and I guess dumped them in the river, as you're wont to do. Now, here's the problem. These fish have really wide teeth that they use for cracking open tree nuts and shells. And because of this, they have been known to chomp down on human testicles. In fact, recently two men in New Guinea died from blood loss when a paku ate their balls. And now these fish are within 10 miles of New York City, and they can grow 3 to 5 feet and weigh 55 pounds. So I guess the moral is don't go swimming near Passaic, New Jersey.
More reason to stay out of the Hudson River.
Is this, let me ask you this, Andrew, is this the, I mean, I know you're not chomping people's balls off, but is this the Dom of fish?
I could be, yeah. I mean, you would be surprised how many people want to be castrated or turned into a eunuch. I get people writing me all the time, so yeah.
This sounds like a nightmare.
You should just put them in a... You just put them in a tank.
I was going to say, I need one of these tanks. Just fill it with some fish. I'll take care of the problem.
I don't even like, and people think I'm weird when I say this, if I'm alone, if I'm in an elevator and like three women walk in, if there's more than three women and I'm alone with them, I start getting really, really anxious because I feel like they're just 2 seconds away from deciding they're just going to turn on me and castrate me. not a fantasy.
Man, I was going to say, it could be your subconscious.
No, it's not a fantasy. It's a straight anxiety. I feel like one of them's just going to pull a razor blade out of her purse, and that's it.
I would imagine this... I mean, is this illegal? This would be illegal to castrate someone.
They're not castrating.
We do, or I do.
Well, no, I know she's not castrating people.
But there is such a thing as castration play, or role play.
And try to mimic the feeling of castration?
Totally and completely. We will put you on the medical bed, put you in the stirrups. For the most part, what I'll do is... I'll tie up everything so it's nice and tight, and then I will take an electrical toy so it feels like I'm cutting it with lasers or something along those lines.
Have you ever seen the movie Hard Candy with Ellen Page and Patrick Wilson?
It's
basically just the two of them. It is an excellent, excellent film, and it's about Ellen Page plays this high school girl who believes she has found this guy who is possibly... raped and abused and possibly killed these young girls who went to her high school. Like, so she finds this guy, seduces him online, and goes back to his place playing the whole, like, innocent, like, 15-year-old girl that he's, like, gonna try to make his creepy pedophilia moves on, and she ends up drugging him and tying him up, and her plan is that she's going to castrate him. And it is a great movie.
Feel good movie of the year.
But there's some twists that your fantasy, not your fantasy, these guys' fantasies made me think of, or what you do for them. That is, look, here's the thing. I am not judgmental at all. With that said, the castration fantasy might be a bridge too far for me.
I think it's definitely one of the most extreme ones out there. Most gentlemen, the idea of it's a serious fetish because that is like the ultimate surrender, to give someone your balls or basically cut off your member and give it to them. It's their fantasy and ultimate way of submission to you as a dominant.
Well, that is ultimately submitting. You should start calling these paku fantasies, as far as I'm concerned. There is a plus side to this paku story. Apparently, these fish cannot survive cold temperatures, so they will die this winter. I don't wish death upon any animal, but this is probably for the best.
On that note.
Tector, this has been a very revealing and illuminating episode. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Before we go, plug away. Do all your plugs one more time. I want to make sure people come down and see you in action.
All right, everybody, you can find me and everything about my events on clubtemptlax.com. Hit me up on Facebook at Domina Tetra. You can message me personally. And, yeah, I'm always at the dungeon. You can find us on LAX, sanctuarylax.com.
And even though you don't use it so much, I'm going to try to get on you to use it more. What's your Twitter handle?
Mistress Tetra.
Okay. And listen, people out there. I really do, actually, both of us really do suggest, go down.
Broaden your horizons.
Yeah, check the place out. As I was just saying about non-judgmental, it's a very non-judgmental place, because I know there's a listener out there, probably a friend of ours, who's been like, oh, that sounds interesting, but I would never wanna. I would never go down there. I would never, just fucking go. It's interesting, like Sean said, broaden your horizon, and you may enjoy yourself. It doesn't, just because you go down there doesn't mean it has to be your lifestyle. You might just want to try something. Like I said, it's just maybe something fun to do with a partner.
And you never know. You may run into a coworker, or a rabbi, or a priest there. Someone you know.
And then you could blackmail them.
Yes.
Sean, plug away.
You can follow me at Twitter at TheSeanDavid. You can also like me on Facebook, Sean David. And on a complete 180 note, I will be giving a talk on Verdi's Falstaff at the Last Bookstore at 1 p.m. this Sunday, October 6th. It's going to be a fantastic talk. So if you like opera or Verdi or Shakespeare or any of those topics, come on down and get some knowledge in your earballs.
I feel like the perfect weekend is you spend your Saturday night Or you know, at the club, and then you go the next day. You know, it's a perfect weekend.
And what do you do Sunday night?
Sunday night, you can find me at I will be doing a reading of an essay at Lit Up Writers this Sunday night, October 6th. It's at 7:30, the Lyric Hyperion Theater. It is part of LA Story Fest. I'm going to be reading a wonderful essay about a one-night stand who tried to urinate in my bathroom sink. I'll also be performing October 17th at Sit and Spin at the Comedy Central stage. There's stuff up on our Facebook page about how to get tickets for all of this stuff. The Lit Up Writers one, it costs money, but it's going to charity. Sit and Spin is free. You should come to both of them. Also, you can follow me at The Real Will Link. You can also read articles of mine at U1Can. Can spelled like the city in France. I write articles about movies and all that bullshit that I love. On the show next week, someone who you actually know is coming on, Tetra.
Who?
Not that we're making this so incestuous, but Ethan... God, how do I say his... Is it Taranto? Is that how you say it? I've never heard him pronounce his last name.
I'm not sure myself, to be honest with you.
Ethan Taranto Kent.
We'll get this sorted out next week, I'm sure, in the presence of the guest.
Yes, when I say his name wrong. But he's got this terrific web series called Mad Nation. They're about to start production on season 2. And he wants to come on and tell you all about it. So he is coming on to tell you all about it. And the week after that, we're trying this... One more time, Sharon Houston. She is a podcaster. She is a storyteller. She is a stand-up. She is terrific. As you may remember, if you're a loyal listener, we tried to have her on.
Not once.
Not once. Not twice. But she had to back out twice of being on the podcast. Once and the day of the podcast. And we may be giving her some shit about that if she really shows up this time. But no, I believe in her, and I believe that she will be here in 2 weeks.
If not, it'll just be myself and Will doing a summer movie, a fall movie preview.
So, once again, Tetra, Mistress Tetra, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I am so glad you quit working at the Dairy Queen, managing, running the Dairy Queen, and got into this world.
I am too.
Thank you, and for the Will Sean podcast, I'm Sean David.
I'm Will Link.
And we are finished.
We're finished.